Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking into Bernhard Tarr's ventures, BTV. They're a beverage company, and honestly, their goal is pretty audacious.
Audacious is a good word for it.
Yeah, going from, like, zero to a national powerhouse in just, what, a few years?
Mm-hmm. It's fast.
What makes them stand out, you know, in such a packed market?
Looking at their investor deck, it seems like two things. Really rapid growth, and this incredibly diverse product line. I mean, everything from a light lager to THC-infused drinks.
Quite the range.
So the big question we're exploring is, can a startup really play the giant's game by sort of reverse engineering their success?
Yeah, that's a great way to frame it. And our mission here for this deep dive is exactly that. We want to unpack BTV's investor overview, really get into their strategy, and try to understand how they think they can scale so fast. It's a tough industry.
Definitely.
And it's worth stressing, all the info we have today, it's straight from their investor pitch deck. So it gives you a pretty unfiltered look at their plans. Okay, right. Let's unpack that foundation then. Bernhard Tarr's Ventures, LLC BTV, or they also use Bernhard Tarr's. They call themselves a producer of American-made CPG products.
CPG, consumer packaged goods.
Exactly. Focused on drinks, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic. I thought the name Origin was kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It's apparently a mix of the founder Chad Webb's grandmother's maiden names.
Ah, okay. A personal touch.
Yeah, a nice touch. But you wonder, for a company aiming so big, aiming for macro scale, does that kind of story matter as much as, say, their operations?
That's a fair question. Maybe less so than the nuts and bolts.
Well, they formed pretty recently, February 2022, and they already have offices in Melbourne Beach, Florida, and Charlotte, North Carolina. Plus, they've lined up some serious partners right away.
Like who?
McDonald Hopkins for legal, GBK Peabody for accounting, and Shopify for their online stuff. Seems like they're setting up a solid structure from the get-go.
It really does signal that. And this is where that operational efficiency you mentioned comes in. It's quite insightful how BTV frames its advantages.
How so?
They don't just say they have experience. They specifically talk about being built on industry-proven processes and procedures.
Okay.
So for anyone listening who's in CPG, that immediately flags, you know, they're using established playbooks, probably trying to avoid common startup mistakes.
Right.
And that figure, they quote, hundreds of millions of cases sold in careers. That points to some deep know-how in logistics, distribution. That's often where beverage startups aiming big really stumble.
Yeah, the distribution challenge.
Definitely. And maybe most critical for speed, they highlight their efficient outsourcing model co-pack products. That's key for scaling.
Co-pack products, can you just quickly explain that? Why is that such a big deal in beverages?
Oh, absolutely. So this efficient outsourcing model,
mm-hmm.
using co-packers, it's not just about saving money on, like, building factories.
Okay.
It's really fundamental for growth. Mm-hmm. Instead of sinking millions into their own bottling lines, they use existing plants, these sure. co-packers. It slashes capital costs, speeds up getting products to market, and lets them ramp production up or down really easily. Huge flexibility, huge advantage over older companies maybe stuck with their own factories.
That makes a lot of sense if speed is the goal. And you really see this in how they position themselves. They say very clearly, our association is with macro or larger companies who use scale like Anheuser-Busch or Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm. They're not hiding their ambition.
Not at all. They even mention admiring the Sam Adams model. You know how Sam Adams seems small but is actually huge with brands like Twisted Tea, Truly, Angry Orchard.
Right, Boston Beer Company. It's a portfolio play.
Exactly. So BTV seems to be aiming for that craft feel, but with the power of a big company behind it, like a Trojan horse strategy almost.
That's a good analogy.
And they explicitly say no association with small local suppliers who push brick and mortar locations. That's pretty bold, isn't it? In a world often celebrating local.
It is bold. And if you connect that to their overall philosophy, it really underpins what they call the BTV answer, correct positioning.
Okay, what does that mean?
It seems to be about leveraging expertise and strong relationships, innovation, insight, brand development, and speed to market. And that mantra, produce only what sells.
Yeah, I saw that.
It suggests they're very agile, probably data-driven, not spending ages on R&D for unproven ideas, but using market data to jump on trends fast.
So different from a craft brewer starting with just a passion project.
Very different. This seems more like strategic efficiency, almost reverse engineering success by seeing what's already working at scale.
Okay, so that's the foundation. Experience, big ambitions, strategic positioning. Let's pivot now to what they're actually selling, because this is where you see that strategy play out, right? With this mix of classic and pretty cutting-edge stuff.
Exactly.
First, there's Day-to-Day Light. They call it a smooth American-style lager. Flavorful, no aftertaste, and the numbers hit that health-conscious spot. 92 calories, 2.9 grams of carbs per 12 ounces.
Right in that Michelob Ultra territory.
Pretty much. Targeting a big, established segment.
Yeah, this isn't just, you know, another craft lager. It feels like a direct challenge.
Yeah.
They launched it with self-distribution in North Carolina back in 2023.
Okay, starting local.
Right. And they hit apparently 100 buying accounts by December 1st, 2023. That's a decent start. Then in 2024, they expanded into off-premise.
So stores, basically. Grocery stores, liquor stores.
Exactly. Places you buy drinks to take home. They launched a 12-pack, which is smart for getting shelf space beyond just bars.
Makes sense. But wow, they're definitely not just sticking to beer. They jumped right into innovation with Elevate Quantum D9.
THC drink.
Yeah. Targeting the new THC Delta 9 emerging categories, as they put it. And this one is fascinating. It's electrolyte enhanced, zero calories, zero carbs, zero sugar, gluten-free, dye-free.
Ticking all the wellness boxes.
Totally. All natural flavors, real fruit juice. They started with green apple and watermelon, produced late last year for a January 2025 launch. And they're already planning mixed berry and lemon lime for this fall. That's a huge jump from light lager.
It really is. And strategically, entering the THC Delta 9 space is, well, it's significant. It shows they're agile, willing to jump on new trends, even ones with tricky regulations.
For sure.
The direct-to-consumer online launch for Elevate Quantum D9 back in March 2025, they called it a huge success in the overview.
Okay.
So that shows not just product innovation, but that they can handle different sales models like online DTC, not just traditional retail.
Mm.
Which is pretty key if you want to grow fast in new markets.
Okay, but that THC Delta 9 space, it's complex, right? The rules are changing constantly, state by state. Does the DEX say anything about how they plan to handle that, especially if they want to go national? It feels a bit like the Wild West.
That's a really critical question. The DEX doesn't lay out a detailed legal compliance map, no. But their emphasis on that, industry-proven processes and procedures, and the experienced team.
Right, the hundreds of millions of cases, guys.
Exactly. It suggests they probably have people who know how to navigate these complex regulatory waters, or they plan to bring them in. Plus, the online DTC model for THC lets them test markets carefully, adapt quickly without needing full retail compliance everywhere right away.
So it's a calculated risk.
That's like it. A risk that highlights how proactive they want to be in capturing new markets.
And they didn't stop there. April 2025, they launched Broken Step Hard Lemonade Bold.
Another category entry.
Yeah, described as a burst of sunshine in a can, vibrant yellow, brewed for that perfect balance of tart and sweet. Sounds refreshing. But the key thing is the timing.
What about it?
They explicitly say they launched it to use Mike's harder lemonade momentum.
Ah, drafting off a leader.
Exactly. Riding the coattails, basically. Another example of that produce what sells idea rather than trying to invent a whole new category from scratch.
Makes sense. It's leveling an existing, proven market. Mike's harder shows the demand is there, so BTV jumps in with a competitive product. Smart. Efficient.
So, okay, they've got this mix. The light lager, the THC drink, the hard lemonade, diverse portfolio, clear strategy behind each. Now, the really big question, how do they get these out there nationally? Let's look at their timeline and growth plan. We know Day-to-Day Light started self-distributing in NC in 23, expanded off-premise in 24. What's next?
This is where it gets really ambitious. For this year, 2025, they already launched their first distributor partner in South Carolina back in March.
Okay, step one, beyond self-distribution.
Right. And they're looking to launch distributors in North Carolina and Florida this fall. Plus, as we said, the Elevate Quantum D9 DTC business is up and running.
Got it. What about 2026?
Big plans for 2026. Launching something called Wrestling Bear Beer.
Wrestling Bear, okay.
Yeah. Developing a line of coffees, including, interestingly, a THC-infused coffee.
Wow. Doubling down on THC.
Seems so. And exploring day-to-day brand extensions like a water and a margarita RTD.
RTD, ready to drink.
Correct. All while continuing to add distributors across the Southeast.
And beyond that?
From 2027 through 2029, the goal is simple, if huge. Continue to scale and move distribution national. It's not just growth, it's hyper-growth.
That is incredibly fast. So how does this translate into a distribution map? They actually laid out a 6-phase plan, didn't they?
They did. A strategic plan. Distribution growth.
Yeah.
Phase one was that self-distribution test in North Carolina.
Check.
Phase two is where they are now.
Yeah.
Distributor partnerships in SE, MC, and FL. Phase three is pushing further into the Southeast.
Okay.
Then phase four heads to the Northeast. Phase five targets the Midwest. And finally, phase six is hitting the West Coast.
So a methodical rollout, region by region, it fits that macro company aspiration.
It absolutely does. And this ambitious plan ties directly to their revenue projections, which are pretty eye-popping.
Let's hear them.
Well, they started with R&D sales, maybe $25,000 total for 23 and 24 combined. Tiny.
Right, test phase.
Then they project jumping to nearly $250,000 in 2025.
Okay, a tenfold increase, basically.
Then it really ramps up. $2 million projected for 2026, $6 million for 2027, and they're aiming for over $15 million by 2029.
$15 million plus. Wow.
Those figures definitely show confidence, maybe aggression, built right on top of that phased distribution plan. It reflects a clear path they see to grabbing market share fast.
Okay, but you need more than just distribution partners. How do they plan to actually reach us, the consumers? Everywhere.
They're talking about a comprehensive omni-channel marketing approach.
Meaning?
Pretty much everything. Traditional stuff like TV spots, radio spots, but also newer channels like podcast interviews, hello, and digital billboards. They're also creating sign-making templates and training videos, which suggest they're serious about supporting their retailers.
That's important.
And naturally, a big digital strategy focusing on social media engagement. They seem to be covering all the bases for a broad reach and targeted connection.
And what about in the stores themselves, the point of sale?
Yeah, they have a whole list of physical point of sale or POS materials. Things like those sign-making templates again, table tents, LED lights, tin tackers, tap handles, shelf tags, coasters, pint glasses. All the stuff you'd expect to see to build brand presence right where people buy.
Standard playbook, but sounds thorough.
Very. And they mentioned promotional support, PPG, using merchandise. Think key bottle openers, coolers, event tents, hats, shirts, koozies. It's about getting the brand seen at events in stores, all under that general tagline they use. Low carbs, low calories, full of flavor.
Okay, so a comprehensive plan on paper. Now, who's actually driving all this? They mention an expert team.
Right. Chad Webb is founder, managing partner. Jessica Webb is co-founder. Gina Craig is CFO.
But there were other names too, right?
Yeah. David Spafford, Mike McShriechslish, Greg Johnston, Kristen Honeycutt. Listing these individuals, plus that earlier claim about hundreds of millions of cases sold.
It suggests they've pulled in people with serious big beverage experience.
Exactly, which you need to navigate the distributor networks for that kind of national scale-up. That's where a lot of startups hit a wall. Having that seasoned expertise adds a lot of credibility to their, frankly, aggressive plans.
Makes the ambition seem slightly more grounded, maybe.
Perhaps. And the whole point of this investor overview, ultimately, is clear. Bernhard Taras Ventures is seeking funding from private backer investors.
Oh, are they structuring that?
Through a SAFE, Simple Agreement for Future Equity.
Ah, okay. Common for early stage startups.
Very common. It lets them raise money faster without setting a company valuation right away. That gets kicked down the road until a bigger funding round.
Easier, but investors are buying a promise of equity, not equity itself yet.
Right. It has its own risk profile.
Yeah.
And they're very clear. Funding options are only for accredited investors only.
Got it. So let's try to wrap this up, our deep dive into Bernhard Taras Ventures. What have we seen?
We've seen a strategy built on deep industry experience, a clear focus on positioning themselves like bigger players, specifically mentioning Sam Adams.
Mm-hmm. Right, the macro association.
Exactly. Then there's the product portfolio. It's really diverse. You've got the accessible day-to-day light lager, the very trendy, maybe risky, Elevate Quantum D9 THC drink, and the market-savvy Broken Step Hard Lemonade.
All backed by that super ambitious national distribution plan. Six phases, cross-country.
Yep, underpinned by a detailed omni-channel marketing strategy and, crucially, what appears to be a very experienced team. It's this blend, you know, experienced leadership meets agile, data-driven approach, all aiming for incredibly rapid growth.
Audacious, like we said at the start.
It really is. What BTV's strategy shows us, I think, is a really interesting model for how new companies might try to scale fast across different beverage types. They're balancing proven industry practices like co-packing with a real willingness to jump headfirst into emerging, maybe volatile trends like THC Delta 9.
It's definitely proactive, maybe even a bit aggressive.
It's a fascinating example of what modern CPG entrepreneurship can look like if you have a very clear data-backed vision and a nerve to execute it quickly.
Okay, that leaves us and you listening with something to think about. Given BTV's aggressive growth plans, their specific correct positioning strategy, and that admiration for the Sam Adams model, what hidden challenges or maybe even unexpected opportunities might they face as they try to go from regional distributors to a truly national scale by 2029? Something to mull over. Thanks for joining us for another deep dive.